That is what we celebrate tonight, that Jesus is here. God is here with us in Jesus. Merry Christmas, everyone. My name is George. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and I just want to welcome you to our Christmas Eve service. Isn't the children's anticipation and joy in that clip contagious? Just makes you, just puts a smile on your face. There are so many things of the Christmas season that I really enjoy. One of them is that sense of anticipation that builds throughout the Advent season leading up to Christmas Eve. I really enjoy the Christmas celebrations and gatherings. I always look forward to our Christmas Eve service where we celebrate together. And I relish spending extra time with family and friends, walking our dogs through Edmonton's beautiful parks. But one of the activities of the season I like the most is shopping. It's hard to believe, hey? I don't know what it is, but I just really enjoy looking for that fitting gift for family and friends. It's just fun to search for something that will bring someone some joy. Well, this year something interesting happened in this regard. Several weeks ago, I got a call from one of my wife Shauna's closest friends. She informed me that something very expensive that she thought Shauna would really like receiving as a Christmas gift was on sale. Like, really on sale. I'm not Dutch like Pastor Dave, but that was music to my ears. You know your wife has good friends when they call you and tell you stuff is on sale. Well, I'm the shopper in our house. Shauna doesn't like shopping. She's content. She lives very simply and is quite low maintenance, actually. I'm the one who enjoys that search for that special item, whether I'm shopping for myself, for my friends, or for my family. Anyhow, I asked my wife's friend a few questions as we were talking to make sure I had understood what she said because it seemed too good to be true. I noted the store, the items, and how long the sale was going to be on, and I started making plans to go shopping. At the end of the next workday, I jumped into the car, excited at the prospect of finding a gift for Shauna, and one that was really on sale. I arrived at the store, and in a couple of minutes, I found the items Shauna's friend was talking about. Right above where they were displayed was this huge sale sign stating how much these items were discounted. And it really was a good deal. My wife's friend had it right. So for the next few moments, I searched for the gift I thought Shauna would most appreciate. A sales lady came along, and I asked to see three items in particular more closely. Even with the sale, these things were still pretty expensive, so I wanted to carefully consider what I was going to buy. And this lady was glad to help. She took the items out of the display while engaging me in friendly banter. After some time, I settled on what I thought Shauna would like the most when an older lady, who I'd seen out of the corner of my eye standing to my left for several minutes, she was looking at me, looking at these items closely. She sidled up next to me and asked in this lovely Spanish accent, "Are you buying that for your wife?" I nodded hesitantly, and she, with the wisdom of the ages, says to me, "Do you know, she's a very lucky lady." To which I responded, "Right?" I then asked the sales lady to give me a few moments alone to allow me to make a final decision. And she left to help the lady who had just spoken to me. As she was doing that, another lady who was off to my right, watching the whole scene, and who had heard what the other lady had said to me, well, she smiles and she walks up to me, she puts her hand on her shoulder, and she says, "You are very considerate. I hope your wife knows this." And I'm like, "Right?" Moments later, I left the store, smiling from ear to ear, gift in hand. I had found what I was searching for. But not all searches are that fun or that easy. Years ago, a few days before Christmas, when our boys were 8 and 6 years old, there was a search of another kind that happened in our home. One of the things that we used to put under the tree every year until we got our dog was a handmade wood carving nativity scene that Shauna received as a gift from a good friend. It has some sentimental value and serves as a pleasant reminder of the reason for the season. There are 11 simple, rustic little pieces of carved wood that make up the scene, and they were the centerpiece under our Christmas tree for years. One evening, shortly before Christmas, while we were tidying up the kitchen after dinner, enjoying the warm glow of Christmas lights and the sweet sounds of carols coming from the stereo, Zachary, our oldest, decided that it would be a good idea to place the various characters of this nativity scene into the closely grown branches of our beautiful little Christmas tree. And as was fitting, He started with the baby Jesus, and he placed him in the soft, full needles somewhere in the heart of the tree. Only a few moments passed when his brother Jackson, who from time to time reenacted that beautiful night in Bethlehem with the wooden carvings, walked over to the nativity scene and very quickly noticed that the central character, the baby Jesus, was conspicuously missing. Noting that something was amiss, he immediately informed on his brother. There was a brief exchange of uncomplimentary words followed by quick scurrying of feet circling the tree. By the time Sean and I realized what was going on and looked in the direction of the tree to make sense of the commotion, all we saw were two little bums sticking out of the tree as our boys' heads and hands frantically but carefully searched the tree. No longer was the room filled with the soothing sounds of Christmas carols coming from the stereo, but shuffling feet and fumbling fingers were now being heard. Lights flickered. Ornaments wiggled as tree branches were bent in the search. And after a few exasperating moments of unsuccessful searching, Jackson looked out from behind the Christmas tree with a tear welling up in his eye and with great frustration yelled, "Mom, Zachary lost Jesus." As we walked toward the tree to try to speak some comfort to our offspring, the boys resumed their all-out search. They stuck their hands and their heads back into the tree. One called out, "Jesus, where are you?" The boys teamed up to reach deep into the tree to find the lost carving. One of the boys suggested cutting some branches away to ensure that we'd find the baby Jesus. They moved ornaments. They bent branches as they searched with passion and vigor. What struck me about this incident was the irony of it all. It's Christmas, and we're searching for Jesus. But Christmas is ultimately not a story of our search to find him. It's not that we're the ones who are searching. It's that God has come in search of us through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. This is why there's even a Christmas. Like that little wooden carving, we're lost. Lost not in amongst densely grown pine needles, but lost in our own selfishness, trapped by guilt, anxiety, lack of purpose and pride. It's a foreign, fearful place. We were never meant to be here. And somehow we know that we were never meant to be here. But we don't know how to get out. But God does. And he's come in search of us to show us a way out. He wants us to know that we were made for a love relationship with him that is personal and real. One that will satisfy the longings that drive our search for that something more. But do we pay attention to his overtures of love? Thankfully, God understands and he gets creative. He comes after us, searching for us. Through the fingers of circumstance and situation, he reaches for us. He calls for us, sometimes whispering, other times shouting. He provides some music. Divine fingers caress the strings of the universe. We're treated to regular symphonies of sunrises and sunsets, soaring eagles and snow-covered mountaintops, all intended to get our attention. And yes, God has even been known to do a little bending of the branches. Those times in our life when our world seems to get bent out of shape, God has been known to create some openings to get our attention. Not because he doesn't love us, just the opposite. He loves us dearly, and he will do whatever it takes to reach and rescue those he loves. Even if it means becoming one of us and entering our world. And that's exactly what God did in Jesus. He stepped out of eternity into time. He made the journey from heaven to earth. He clothed himself in flesh. He left the splendor of his home in heaven to become one of us. Motivated by love, Jesus humbled himself and entered this world as a helpless baby. He entered a world of problems and pain, sickness and sorrow, heartache and hurt. And the gospel writer Matthew tells us this, that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Micah, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and that they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God with us. And he came on a quest for relationship with us, driven by his love for us. Soren Kierkegaard, the great Danish theologian of the 18th century, tells the story of a prince who was running an errand for his father one day in the local village. As he did so, he passed through some very poor sections of town. Looking through the window of his carriage, he saw a beautiful young peasant girl walking along the street. He could not get her off his mind. He continued to come into the town day after day just to see her and feel as though he was near her. His heart yearned for her, but there was a problem. How could he develop a relationship with her? He was a prince surrounded by riches and servants, with privileges and powers of the kingdom at his disposal. She was a peasant girl living in squalor. He could order her to marry him. It was in his power to do so. But he wanted the girl to love him from her heart, willingly. He could put on his royal garments and impress her with his regal entourage and drive up to her front door with soldiers and a carriage drawn by 6 horses. But if he did this, he would never be certain that the girl loved him or whether she was simply overwhelmed with his power, position, and wealth. The prince knew that there was truly only one way to show the young maiden how much he loved her. So he gave up his royal robe, his rightful power and privilege, and all the comforts of the kingdom, and he moved into the village dressed only as a peasant. He lived among the people. He shared their interests and concerns. He spoke their language. He lived life among them. He did life with them. And in time, the young peasant girl grew to know him and then to love him. His quest had been satisfied. He had won her heart. Friends, this is what God has done for us in Jesus. Jesus donned the humblest of robes, a human body. The King of Heaven put aside his heavenly robes and divine privileges. He came to us as one of us. He made a throne out of a manger and a royal court out of some cows. He lived among us, ate with us, drank with us, felt with us, all to win our love. He could have forced us. He could have overwhelmed us. But he chose to romance us by living among us. He became a friend of sinners and a brother to the poor. He touched our sores. He felt our tears. He paid for our mistakes. He entered a tomb and he came out and pledged that we could do the same. And to us here today, he shares the same message, that the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people. Tonight or tomorrow morning, many of you will be exchanging gifts. The supreme reason we search for and give Christmas presents is to remind us of the most indescribable gift that was ever given, the gift of Jesus Christ to us. In Jesus Christ, God offers us a gift like no other. He offers us forgiveness and freedom. He offers his Spirit to live within us. He offers us his very self. When someone offers us a present, we have a choice. We can accept it, open it, and enjoy it, or we can refuse it and say, no, thank you. And the Bible makes very clear that we can accept this gift by faith. One of the disciples, John, said that God loved this world. His love for this world was so great that he gave his Son. And that those who believe in him will experience an eternal quality of life in this life and in the afterlife. Believing this involves an act of faith based on all that we know about Jesus. It's not a blind faith. It's putting our trust in a person that we get to know better day to day. The message of Christmas, friends, is that God has come in search of us in Jesus. He is for us. Jesus is God with us. He came to meet our deepest need and satisfy the longings that keep us searching. And at Christmas time, we remember the fact that Jesus entered our world in order to restore our relationship with God, our relationship with other people, and even our relationship with ourselves. He came to give us the gift of freedom from guilt, addiction, and fear. Freedom to know God, to love, and to change. Well, you might be wondering, whatever happened to that little wooden figurine that was hidden somewhere in the heart of our Christmas tree? Well, after several tense moments of eyes peering through the pine branches and of fingertips fumbling through needles, Zachary found the baby Jesus carving and carefully extracted it from the bed of branches that it was nestled in. The baby Jesus had been rescued and replaced as the focal point of the nativity scene. And tonight serves as an opportunity to refocus. We're reminded again of how precious God's indescribable gift of Jesus Christ is to us. Without him, there really is no Christmas. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God offers us this gift of love, the gift of Jesus Christ to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and offer you our thanks. For on this holy night, you sent us the gift of your Son wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We thank you that you looked into our world and saw our grief, our pain, our fear, our sin, our hunger for hope and peace and joy and love, and you came in search of us. And that when we look into the manger, we see your answer. We've come to adore your Son, Jesus Christ, as the one who came to pierce the darkness of our souls in being the light and Savior of this world. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ, you have set things right, that he paid the punishment for our sins by dying on the cross, that he rose again to prove that death is truly defeated, and that he reigns today as King of Kings. Heavenly Father, on this holy night, our hope is restored, your peace is truly felt, and we are drawn once again into the mystery of your love. May your Spirit fill us with joy overflowing as we give praise to the one for whom we have waited, the newborn King, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen.